ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. I am the Gas Man with my co-host, the magnificent
Lugs.
Hey buddy, good to see you. It's going to be an awesome, exciting week to talk about NASCAR this week.
It is, it always is.
Yeah, absolutely. This week is a little different, a little interesting, a little news topics to discuss.
Yeah, we're all over the spectrum, I'll say that.
Yes. So fans, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend, a family member, whoever, as we like to get the word out about us. And also, never hesitate to reach out to us. And talking about reaching out to us, I want to throw something out there. You know, even though I've not discussed it with you, Lux, our winners that we had on Facebook have still not reached out to us, correct?
Yeah, that's true.
So the first two people to email us and say hi to us and talk to us, wreckingandracing@gmail.com, we will send you some complimentary gifts. Does that work for you, Lux?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. There we go. So I'm a one-man show. Just kidding. I should have passed this across to you. Sorry, sir. So, fans, as always, welcome back to another exciting week. And again, wreckingracing@gmail.com. First two to email and say hi. And talking about that.
Tell us something cool.
Yeah, if you look, actually, you know what? The first person that calls into the episode, we'll give them something as well. And what I mean by that is right now on Facebook, we put out a message saying, if you're interested in calling the show in the next hour while we're recording, then we can get you on here. Just message us on Facebook, and we'll send you our call-in number.
We'll set you up.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic.
Let's talk about Pocono, man.
Pocono.
What'd you think of it?
I loved it, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, you know, we have these races this year that have been really phenomenal, and we have other races that are really crappy. Mm-hmm. This is one of those races that...
You're a big Pocono fan.
I do like Pocono, and, man, nothing gets you like a... I don't want to use the wrong term here. Nothing gets you more excited than seeing those restarts, man.
Yeah.
They go 15 cars wide.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty cool. No other track can compare to that.
Not even close. So absolutely phenomenal. The racing I thought was pretty good too.
Yeah.
And if you had a really good car like a Harvick, you really made your way up through the field. Mm-hmm. You can make up 10 spots in, you know, 5 laps.
Right.
Or you can make up 1 spot in 100 laps. It's all about the people around you at that moment. And cars were good and they were bad. They were good. So it was like even the winner of the race wasn't really a dominant car.
No. Speaking of which, your favorite driver, Mr. Busch, won.
Who? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, Kyle Busch won if you've been living, you know.
Under a rock.
Yeah, and don't have a clue.
Another win for the big three, man.
Yeah, so it's what, 6-3?
I think we all knew that was going to be the outcome. But I was really excited for those last couple restarts. I mean, I thought that maybe Suarez or Jones or Chase, Bowman, any of those. You had some fresh faces up there. I mean, I thought maybe someone was going to be aggressive enough to maybe pull a slide job on Busch. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Suarez should have been a little more aggressive, man. What do you think?
Suarez on that last restart, should have just plowed into the side of Busch and go get his first victory, man. To me, I think he, I don't know if he, I don't want to say the term scary. He wasn't
plowed,
scared,
but he could have tactfully.
Absolutely. He could have NASCAR.
Whether he muscled him out of the groove or, if he got into him like Harvick did to Busch the week before.
Definitely could have done something different.
Yeah.
I really felt like he was, again, I don't want to use the term scared, but he was reluctant to do too much, and I think that really held up the guys behind him as well. Like Harvick, for example, had the best car all day.
Yeah.
Even after the incident, well, we might well get to that now, the incident on pit row with his teammate.
Almirola, yep.
He still was having one of the fastest cars.
Yeah,
no damage.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder, obviously we don't have a good perspective as what the crew chiefs do. We're sitting there on the box. But I don't know. I mean, I almost would have gambled with, if I was Rodney Childers, just gambled, man. Don't fix the damage. You got... 6 wins,
yeah,
dude.
Right.
Like,
right.
Go for it. Yeah. I mean, this is you coming back in multiple times to fix that. You're going to be starting in the last year.
Yeah.
Odds of winning are highly against you at that point.
But he wasn't far off.
Roll the dice.
Definitely wasn't far off.
Yeah,
so.
I know. So that's a tough call.
But he did have like 25 spots to make up or so.
That's a tough call. But had he not came back in, he would have restarted what I think like top 10, 13, yeah, top 15.
Yeah.
So
let's take it back a notch real quick, Lugs, okay? Let's talk about before the race, some excitement that happened.
13 cars failing 13. Post-qualifying 13. Inspection.
So what was different about inspection this time compared to normal?
I think everybody was just pushing the envelope, man. I don't know.
Remember last week's episode, we were talking about people using black trim on the car to try to fake out.
I didn't hear about that, though, this week, so I don't know if that was it. I never really heard where they were pushing the boundaries, did you?
No, Neither did I. I was asking in case you did hear something.
No, I didn't. No, normally you'll see a rumor or something here or there on Twitter, but no, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, I didn't see anything either, so... I guess we'll continue to look, and if we happen to come across that, then...
Nonetheless, that was insane, dude. The two fastest cars, Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, starting 1 and 2, and then, you know, fail post-race or post-qualifying inspection and have to go to the back.
Default, Suarez got the pole.
Yeah. But, you know, I do want to give a hat tip to Suarez, man. He started on the pole by default, but still, he was up there all day long. He led laps. He finished second. That's got to be a morale booster for that team.
No, absolutely. Let's talk about that. Not just him. The whole Gibbs team had probably their best effort of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You had all four in the top 10.
Yeah, Hamlin was up there too. Yep.
Yeah, you had Hamlin finished 10th. You had Eric Jones 5th. Suarez 2nd. Kyle winning.
Yep.
So four of the top 10. And, there's just this week, if you look at the top 10, for example, this week there's three teams. Essentially,
mm-hmm.
Stuart Haas, Hendrick, surprisingly, and Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
One of each manufacturer up there.
Yep.
So Hendrick had a finisher in 3rd, which is Bowman, 6th, which was Byron, 7th, which was Elliott, and then for some reason, Johnson was up there all day in the top 10, and he dropped back to 17th.
Yeah, I never did hear what the situation was there, but good to see Bowman and Byron up there, man. They got best career finishes. So that was cool. How did your picks do?
Oh, so at Pocono, my picks did fairly well. I had Harvick and I had Kurt. So Harvick finished 4th and Kurt finished 9th. So that's really good.
That was a really solid day.
Yeah, it's like a 7.5 average finish. How'd you do?
I did terrible. Actually, I don't know if I used the term terrible. I had Truex.
Terrible.
Truex, he was 15th. And then my dark horse was... Menard, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember texting you about that.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
I texted you, I was like,
oh, Menard's at the 21st.
Yeah, I was like, Menard's in 24th, I should have picked a different dark horse. And then, like, another quarter way through the race, I was like, oh, he's moving up, he's in 23rd now. So, but yeah, not a good, strong showing by Menard. So, 15th and 21st for my guys.
Yeah, but not horrible.
Truex really let me down, man. He was never really up there.
No, he wasn't.
You saw him a few times, his car was clearly... He was struggling with it.
In your defense, I thought these two were pretty solid. Both were pretty solid choices. Because we know that Menard's not the best racer, but he does pretty good on tracks like this.
Yeah, I mean, he has his flashes of brilliance, and I thought with him being in the 21, he would have been a little bit better. So, I don't know.
So, was there any surprises that you took away from Pocono?
Surprises? Well, I mean... I was surprised when Bubba hit the wall, lost his brakes and hit the wall.
You were surprised by that? Or that was just more of a like, oh, crap?
I don't know. We hadn't seen... I mean, obviously those types of incidences have been prevalent at Pocono. Brake failure, rotor failure, whatever it was. A combination of the two. So, I don't know. Anytime those happen, man, they're scary, you know?
No, absolutely. And I really feel bad for him. I mean, I think... Every person watching that race held their breath like, oh, crap.
Yeah, so I don't know if surprise is the word I would use, but, I mean, it was a little scary. Yeah, because he didn't put his window net down very quick.
No, NASCAR kind of got on to him about that, too. Basically saying, hey, please relieve some of the pressure out here and do that a little faster.
Right, yeah. I saw he was on Blaney's podcast. A rival podcast.
I love that picture you posted, by the way, on our Facebook.
Oh, yeah, go check it out if you haven't seen the meme I posted. But, yeah, he was on Blaney's podcast and said he got the wind knocked out of him. He was just trying to, like, gather his composure and get his breath back, and then he realized, I haven't put my window net down yet, so.
But definitely a scary moment, you know, and But I'm glad he's okay. I think everybody's glad he's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad his car kind of took a little bit of a left turn there at the end and hit it with the right side instead of head on.
Right.
I think that helped alleviate some of the concerns or a little bit more of the energy force.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Bush winning, man, I got to ask you, are you ready to change your championship pick?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Still Harvick for me, bud.
Mm. Okay.
But talking about Bush, he had a strong weekend. He not only did he win the truck race and the cup race, his car won the Iowa Xfinity race.
Yeah, yeah. Christopher Bell.
Yeah. So kind of third, I mean, he really
third
did
win in a row.
He really did. Yeah, he really did sweep it.
Mm-hmm.
So but yeah, Chris Bell, three wins in a row. Congratulations to him. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we'll stick with cup for right now.
What do you think about the three Hendrick cars in top 10? Are they onto something, or was it a fluke?
I think they finally are. I don't think it's a fluke.
It's the second week in a row Chase has got a stage win.
Yeah, I think it's second week in a row that Hendrick is actually showing a little bit more improvement. So I don't think it's a fluke. I think they're finally starting to find that one little tick, mm-hmm. To add to the car. So I'm thinking going forward, you're going to start to see them a little more contending a little bit more each week.
I think Michigan will paint a pretty accurate picture of that for us when we get there.
Yeah,
after next.
I heard something about when at the new car, Richard Childress actually tried to get a Chevrolet Alliance together so that all the teams can come together with engineering support so they're not falling behind. And I don't think that happened.
No.
And obviously, Hendrick found it before anybody else. Maybe Chip Ganassi with Larson, but he's had moments. But he's not really
bad. Not lately, though.
Not lately, no. Like... He's had moments of decent, but not great throughout the season so far.
Yeah, so they were the trendsetter, but now they seem to have pulled the reins back a little bit, and now Hendrick seems to have taken a little bit of a step forward, but by no means is anybody really going out there and taking the charge.
No. I think...
We'll see what happens in Michigan, though. I think, again, that'll tell a good tale.
Yeah, this week, going to Watkins Glen this week, it's going to be kind of it's a one-off. There's really not going to be a good tell of a car.
Strategy,
horsepower and
yeah,
stuff,
exactly.
So.
Pit strategies. We do have, while we're still on the topic of the cup, Casey Kane and Harvick were assessed 10 driver and owner points. Did you read that inspection after quality?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, because they missed it how many times?
Three times? Read multiple. I'm not sure.
I think they both failed three times.
Yeah,
Bush failed twice,
yeah,
I believe.
If you fail it three times, then you get dinged the points. Yep, yeah, you're right. So,
but how do you fail in post-qualifying inspection three freaking times? Or I guess just pre-qualifying inspection, wasn't it? Because how do you fail if it's post?
It was post because that's why they got their starting positions revoked.
But you think that they wouldn't allow you to make changes. Well, no, you have to correct the issue, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a little confusing.
So
but yeah, I'm pretty sure
change,
you're right.
Go back through it, fail it, try to make another change, go through it, fail it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I was being stupid there, folks. I apologize. That's pretty common to me.
So, nonetheless, those were the only penalties from the weekend. Actually, there was two other people, I don't know if you heard about this, that were banned from NASCAR.
Banned.
I could not find what teams they were from, but they were listed on J-Ski's website as banned from NASCAR in the Cup Series. David Little, his was due to substance abuse.
Huh.
And Douglas Chouinard, or Chouinard, I would guess is how you pronounce that. He was banned because he did not report a misdemeanor or felony to NASCAR within 72 hours of conviction or before the next sanctioned event. So I don't know. I couldn't find any other details on like who was part of whose team they were, but it was under the Cup headlines, so just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I've not heard anything about that. It's very interesting.
Yeah. We talked about Bubba's hit, but did you see the post race incident between Almirola and DeBrito?
Yeah, I don't really know what that was all about. I just seen a very brief little snip of him on Twitter, and I really don't know what that was about.
Yeah, I mean, Almirola claims he didn't know either. So he did a spot, I think it was on Sirius XM, and he was talking about how he wasn't honestly 100% sure what it was stemming from, but he was speculating that it was because he raced DiBurrito there on the last lap and passed him for 25th. Yeah.
But still, a point to point, and exactly. Almirola exactly. is in the playoff picture.
Exactly, man. So he said, it was the morning drive on NASCAR Radio with, I don't know who hosts that, but he said he was frustrated, upset, I guess, that I passed him on the last lap. I don't know. I guess he thought I shouldn't race for 25th. I mean, I race for every spot all race long. I don't care if it's 25th or the lead. I guess he thought I shouldn't have, I should have let him finish 25th, and I wasn't going to do that. I passed him in the tunnel turn on the last lap. He said I took his line away from him, and he was upset about it. I don't know. I hate it for him that he didn't finish 25th. We were racing. It's called racing. I was baffled. I was blown away after the race. When he come into the side of me and spun me out, I couldn't wrap my head around why he was so upset. He said, but I guess I understand when you're back there running 25th, trying to stay on the lead lap week in and week out, that gets old. A little bit of a burn there at the end.
Yeah, and I actually have to agree with Eric on this.
Because, oh, I do too.
Well, one, it is racing.
Racing's racing, man.
Yeah, but Matt, I mean, I guess Matt was excited that he was finishing better than 30th. And I'm not trying to be mean. And that's
still,
his
still
constant.
27th, so it's still it's better than 30th. I mean, I would think that at a kind of underfunded car or team like that, you wouldn't want to do any more damage to it. But you know, what do I know?
Yeah.
I watch from my couch, so.
Yeah, yeah. Same here. I watch from your couch, too.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. So, the TV ratings. Every week we talk about TV ratings. Do you think they're pretty solid this week?
I haven't seen them, but I'm going to say probably not.
Yeah, just stick with the same old trends, right?
Down.
Yeah. So, it was down from 2.17 to 1.72 is the rating,
mm-hmm.
which means 2.75 million people tuned in.
That's still a lot of people.
It absolutely is still a lot of people. Last year, it was 3.67 million.
Hmm.
So, it was almost a whole million drop-off.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's a pretty significant hit. So far this year, we are down 19% compared to last year. And 29% compared to the year before.
In viewership?
Yes. Hmm. Now, I'm bringing that up because I want to go into my next segment here. So one of the
should I pull out the soapbox?
Maybe.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay.
So this every week we talk about one of the heads of NASCAR putting their foot in their mouth, saying shit they shouldn't be saying.
Oh, that's a bad word.
Like Steve O'Donnell, FCC is gonna be all over us. So like Steve O'Donnell, Rob Coffin, whoever it is saying stuff, making themselves look like a fool. This week, the COO of NASCAR, Steve Phelps, says that there's too much focus on the negative. We need to focus more on the positive.
What are the positives?
Well, yeah, I'll get to that in a second. So we focus, as a fan base, we focus too much on the negative, not enough on the positive. He says that the TV ratings are down, but the digital content is greater than it's ever been. So it makes up any difference for that. It might be better than it has been because digital's increasing every year. It ain't making up for that many fans leaving.
I can't imagine that's bringing in as much revenue.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. So let's talk about that. The negatives and the positives. So yes, the negatives. So he's the two things he really brought up was how everybody's talking about Lowe's is leaving and everybody's talking about 5-Hour Energy is leaving.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a big deal. Because you're losing sponsors, like major sponsors from your one, like two of your top five drivers.
Well, not only that, but man.
And Lowe's has been at the sport for how many years?
Remember, NASCAR fans are the most brand loyal customers. So anytime they form a bond or an association with, you know, a brand, whether it's their favorite driver or not, like I support brands based on the fact that they sponsor, you know, maybe a team or a driver that I'm not a fan of, but the fact that
they're
in the sport,
yeah.
I support them.
Yeah. And I can't disagree with you on that. If I'm looking at two products, I like both products.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the NASCAR nerd to me. I tend to lean more towards the NASCAR affiliated.
Right.
So it is a big deal.
I agree. So I think that comes down to the fact that, you know, fans, they latch onto these brands, and then when they leave the sport, you know, I don't know if they're disappointed or pissed or angry or what, but I think that just comes with the natural territory. I mean, if there was a huge sponsor leaving the NFL, I think you'd get the same reaction from fans in that sport, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously sponsorship plays a whole different role in NASCAR than it does in football or baseball, whatever. But you still have sponsors. So Papa John's went and left the NFL before the whole fiasco with John himself. It was a big deal. It was talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a fair assessment to talk about these sponsors leaving. So I just want to...
Why would you not talk about it?
It almost sounds like to me that he wants you to sweep everything underneath the rug and only talk about the daisies and the roses, you know? But damn it, the sport isn't like that right now. No. We got to call it like it is. And that's why we had this show, Logs, is to call it like it is. Steve Phillips, if you listen to the show, please call us. I'd like to talk to you on your comments. It is, to me, asinine when these bigwigs at NASCAR take approaches like this. Yeah, it is absolutely out of touch. It is a big deal a sponsor's been here for like 19 years and Lowe's is leaving.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big deal when your team won a championship last year and they're leaving.
Yeah.
So it is a big deal. So let's talk about the positives now. He's saying that what about all these sponsors are coming to this sport? Okay, let's name them. Mountain Herbal Snuff.
Craftsman.
Which I was going to mention Craftsman here in a little bit. That's probably the biggest one. And when they come to the sport, they're doing like partial two deals. Races, yep. Three races.
Yep.
They're not a lifelong commitment like Lowe's was. Mm-hmm. And really, 5-hour energy for the most part with the Furniture Row and Truex as a team.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there. So it is a big deal. And we just have to call it like it is. But any more positives you can throw out? I mean,
the racing product is still substantial.
It is. So here's another comment he made is that, hey, everything's okay because NASCAR still has more people watching than any other sport. So we're content with the status quo.
Right.
We're content with it just being the way it is because, you know, we're declining and sucking as a ownership group that – and our product is, you know, just disintegrating in front of us. It's okay because we're still doing better than the rest.
Yeah.
That's not the approach to take.
Well, and, you know, even though maybe this particular car model or this rules package doesn't produce the best racing we've ever seen in the series, it's still great racing.
We've had some really good races.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
I feel like the product's better this year than last year.
True. I would probably agree with that statement, but...
It's all because Dale Jr. is now an announcer.
Right.
The aura he brings.
But, again, you know, this racing by far, in my opinion, blows anything, you know, IndyCar is going to put on or F1.
Sure. So, sure. Yeah, I just
get tired of hearing everybody bitch.
Yeah, no, yes, I agree with you. And why can't if it, you know, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, guess what? It's a freaking duck, right? So I'm getting tired of this whole – almost lack of acknowledgement from the higher-ups at NASCAR. Obviously, I know it's a reflection upon them, but self-reflection, one of the most important values a person can have. Going back to my HR days.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, that rings true. You have to be able to assess yourself and know where your faults are to improve on them.
Right.
And those guys have their heads so far up their tush, they can't. They
can't recognize those faults.
Right.
Nope, I agree.
You got a soapbox this week?
I don't. I mean, mine, if it is considered one, it's when we get to the Xfinity series.
Okay. So we have a little bit more Cup news to talk about. I don't really have anything else about Pocono, though.
No, that's everything that I've got, too.
All right. So let's get into Cup news. I kind of want to talk about this because it is just crazy. I'm talking about the Greg Biffle lawsuit.
Yeah.
So for fans
who... I feel like this has been swept under the rug.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm surprised it's not a bigger deal than what it is.
When you tell me about it, I actually had to go out and look for it.
Yeah,
nobody's really reporting
this. Should be plastered everywhere, I would think. So, and for Greg Biffle's case, I guess
it's
good.
It's almost as outlandish as the assassin
from Kurt Busch. Yeah, yeah.
But that was a little less
creepy. What was that chick's name? Pam something?
I don't know. That was way less creepy than this.
Yeah, so, exactly, yeah. I mean, I'd rather take an assassin over a perv.
So go ahead and tell us what.
Yeah, so anyway, there's a lawsuit right now against Greg Biffle by his ex-wife saying that...
And her mother.
And her, yeah, and her family, I guess. Saying that Greg had installed cameras, videotaped, like, had them in different bedrooms, videotaped, like, I guess her changing and unchanging and stuff like that, and, like, showing it to people. Is that not... I mean, one, you shouldn't do that. Two, why in the hell would you do that to your wife?
I don't know. Three, why would you show people that of your wife?
I mean, unless you're like, hey, look at my trophy. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, dude. That's weird. That's that just goes to prove, man, like, you don't know who some people really are.
So, one question that it may not be relevant at all, but it came to my mind, is did that somewhat have a... Because obviously it takes a while for lawsuits to get going and stuff. Did that play a part in his demise? Like, his exiting of NASCAR?
I mean, we'll never know officially, but I would say no. Because I think it would have worked its way out somehow by now if it was. Because, I mean, Greg hasn't raced since, what, 2 years now?
Yeah.
I think we would have heard something else. Rumor or not, or otherwise...
Probably, like I said, it's just something that popped in my mind when reading this.
Did it say like when this allegation supposedly took place? I mean, is it like this year?
I don't remember. I don't remember seeing that. I really didn't read a whole lot of in depth.
Well, the article was like one paragraph.
Yeah, it wasn't very much. You would think like somebody like ESPN would be picking this up and talking about it.
The article that I found, like, it laid out the accusations, and then it was like Greg Biffle was going to testify today before lunch, and Jerry's out. That's it. I was like, what?
Yeah. Very different. I mean, it's very weird.
Yeah.
Very, very weird.
We'll see if anything pops up. Well, stay tuned. We'll recap any new news in the next podcast.
So, question is, fans, do you think that Greg Biffle is a perv? Email us wreckingracing@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts.
We'll put a poll up.
Yeah, maybe we will. So, talking about polls, I'm just going to throw this out there because I thought this was funny. Because last week I was on a soapbox about how dumb Brian France is. So, it really pissed me off. So, I go and put on a poll on Twitter. Do you think Brian France is a dumbass as much as I do? And really, 89% of people who responded to the poll said yes. I mean...
Were you shocked by that?
No, not at all. And my whole... point is that I know we keep discussing this, but listen to your fans, get your heads out of your butts, you know, and acknowledge it is what it is, and try to fix it. Don't try to sweep underneath the rug and act like it's, you know, nothing's wrong. That's not the case.
It's like they're too scared to do anything,
I guess. You know, I don't know whose idea it was to come up with a car tomorrow, but maybe they're scared of something like that happening again.
Could be.
If they ran into another situation like that, this sport's done. They cannot have another blunder like the car tomorrow.
But, I mean, again, the racing product is not the issue, in my opinion, right now. Could it be tweaked and made a little bit better? Yeah, but we're far from the car tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? There is plenty to capitalize on for a marketing aspect that they could be taking advantage of.
Different tracks, race links, race formats. Whatever you want to say, it stages, if you even want to get into that debate again. But the car, the product, the racing is not terrible.
No, absolutely not. But again, they have to acknowledge it. They have to address it. And them addressing it might be distancing themselves.
They have just too much of a laissez-faire attitude. Just, we'll see what happens. We won't address it. Unless it's retaliation or out of the, ordinary like that. I don't know.
Definitely, I don't want to get on a soapbox, but it's very frustrating.
You're already on it.
Yeah, I know. I haven't stepped off yet. But it's just very frustrating. So anyway, I'm glad fans agree with us on that aspect. And again, fans, never hesitate to reach out to us and tell us your thoughts. So we're talking about earlier about Craftsman coming back into the NASCAR, or coming into NASCAR. Not really a stretch because of who they're owned by.
The truck series, right?
Right. But, I mean, as in like an actual on the car is what I mean.
I'm joking. So, Craftsman truck series, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So, do you know who owns Craftsman?
No.
DeWalt.
Oh, okay.
Black & Decker, DeWalt, and Craftsman's all the same company now.
Them recently?
Yeah, like a year ago or something like that. So it kind of makes sense. So I think what's happening is DeWalt's actually pulling out, and they're branding it as Craftsman more. They try to hit a different segment. Kind of like when they went from Bud to Bush on Harvick's car. Yeah. And
trying to get different
going from Camping World to Gander for the truck series, stuff like that. They're just taking their funding and their resources and putting it into a different area to try to push and brand.
Mm.
I could be wrong on that, but that's my personal feeling is on
it. It seems to be, just looking at it. But
did you hear the good news this week that Bubba got re-signed?
I did, yeah, I did. Did you hear what it was? Is it a 1 year?
No, it was multi-year. I didn't hear how many years it was, but it was multi-year.
I don't know how I feel about that.
What do you mean by that? Go on.
If I was Bubba, man, he's got star power. He's fun to listen to and talk to in interviews, and obviously can bring sponsors in. So, I don't know, man. I mean, no disrespect against Richard Petty Motorsports, but
they're not a top-tier team.
Yeah, I think he could shuffle. I mean, dude, I firmly believe the guy's got talent. He just doesn't have the best equipment right now. But I think, honestly, if he could get into some better rides, then we would see that. We would see better results. So, I don't know, man. I get it if he did another year, contract extension or whatever. But I'd really like to see him, come over to Ganassi, man. Kick McMurray out. Put him in there.
Sure. It's through 2020, by the way. I just verified it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's through 2020. So, essentially 2 years.
But we know how contracts are. People
break them and all the time.
Or, obviously Gibbs is a packed house and you got Chris Bell trying to break his way in there. That's another subject here. But, right now there's not a lot of teams for him to go to. So, I get it if he did a 1 year or something, But
so, talking about contracts, and you mentioned Chris Bell. Let's get into it. So, some of the rumors, there's a whole crap ton of rumors going around right now. So, one is that Levine Family Racing is switching from Chevrolet to Toyota and they're going to partner up with Gibbs.
Yeah, and Kane is not even committed to that. Did you see the article today?
Yeah, absolutely. Kane's in his only year of contract.
Yeah.
So, after this season, his contract's done.
He said he has no idea where he's going to be next year.
Yeah, so let's talk a couple of these out, these scenarios, okay? Guess who else is done with his contract this year?
Truex.
Guess what his team has done with this year?
Sponsor.
And this is the last year of their agreement with Toyota.
Mm.
So do they stick with Toyota? There's so many right now with Furniture Row Racing. There's so many variables. No sponsor, no guarantee you're going to be with your manufacturer again next year.
I think we're going to see something big happen there, whether it's a merging of two teams or if Levine merges into Furniture Row, or they combine houses, or they put two shops into one, the alliance with Petty and Childress, or whatever the case, something big is going to happen there. I have a feeling. I just don't know what.
Okay, that's my call. That's a very reasonable suspicion, but it definitely makes you wonder because there's, like I said, there's so many variables with just Furniture Row by itself.
I think Christopher Bell should be in a Cup ride next year.
So they're talking about moving him up into a second Furniture Row car, but why would you focus on a second car when you can't even get your first one for a champion funded?
Well, I don't really buy that, man. He's a last year's champion. You're going to tell me you don't have at least some partial sponsors that are willing to pony up the dough for 6 to 10 races a year? You don't have 3 or 4 sponsors that would be interested in that? I don't know that I believe that.
I see what you're saying. I don't know. I wish I had that crystal ball.
Maybe they can't find the sponsor that will step up and agree to sponsor 32 out of 36 races like 5 Hour has. But you can't tell me there's not, 5 other sponsors out there that aren't willing to split the pay, the costs to put their stuff on the car. I don't know. Again, I'm watching from my couch. What do I know?
Right. And you're right about Chris Bell. I think he definitely found his way to a Cup level.
Did you see the article? Actually, I think it came out today.
From Joe Gibbs?
Yeah, he said we have to keep him.
Yes.
Because they lost Byron and they lost Larson. Toyota Racing did. So.
Yeah, very true.
I agree. They'd be foolish to lose him. But obviously, Gibbs doesn't have any room in the Gibbs Inn, and they used to what they used to call Hendrick.
Yeah,
the Hendrick Inn.
Yeah, yeah. You know, their stables are a little full over there, but
so, okay. You're Gibbs, all right. You got Bell, you know, on your dime. He's in your equipment. What do you do? What do you do next year? You keep him in Xfinity? Do you talk with Furniture Row? Do you axe?
I don't know. I'm gonna say axe Soares, but demote him to Xfinity and put Bell in that car. But then you lose all faith. Soares loses all faith with the team.
What if they put Soares in the old Jones car at Furniture Row and put Bell in Gibbs? But again, you know, that all is contingent on another car, another sponsor, what happens with Levine. There's so many factors and variables.
There is. And, you know, even if, let's say, Furniture Row still stays Toyota and still stays there, and Levine, Family Racing comes to Toyota as well, Chevy's not losing anything. Toyota's not really gaining anything. So right now, like, I think last week there's like 14 Chevys on track, and there was 6 Toyotas and like 12 Fords, whatever it was. My math's probably not right, but my whole point is that there's not very much Toyota.
You know, it's funny you say that, because in that same article, they talked about how Toyota is trying to make more of an effort to retain their development drivers, because they lost Larson, they lost Byron, and it's because they don't have enough cup seats. They come through the ranks, they kill it in Craftsman Truck, well, it used to be Craftsman Trucks, Gander or whatever it is now. They kill it in Xfinity Series, and then you've only got X amount of seats in Cup. So I see something big happening, man, and I think it's going to be Toyota-related. I think it's going to put more Toyotas in the field.
I definitely think it'll be Toyota related. And I think, unfortunately, I think the way Toyota came into Cup kind of hurt
them. You saw the title sponsors and the amount of moolah that they're spinning, dumping into the sport. When we went to Daytona, everywhere you turn, there's a Toyota ad,
everything.
Or a Toyota display.
They are
or a Toyota
pumping
model,
money into it.
Which pumping is good. I'm glad that they are.
Chevy and Ford need to step up their games. But thing is, the money of Chevy and Ford is divided out a little further than it is with Toyota.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You got more teams.
Yeah.
That you got to spread the
piece of pies.
The dough, too. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I don't know. That's what I see. I just, and even Chris Bell said himself, he said, here, I wrote it down, prefer not to waste another year of my prime in Xfinity. So he made the case today, and this was a separate article from the Gibbs one, but said, hey, I'm 23. It's not like I'm these other Xfinity guys that are coming through Xfinity at 19, 20, 21. He said, I'm 23. I don't want to spend another prime year in Xfinities. And I kind of agree with him.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with him. And he's proved himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three wins in a row.
Keselowski.
Yeah.
Has he beat Bush? I can't remember if one of those was Bush related.
But anyway, three in a row, last one to do it was Dale Jr. And it tells you the significance of that. I mean, it's been that long of a time frame.
99?
Yeah. So earlier we were talking about Johnson and Hendrick. So Hendrick came out today, maybe it was yesterday, and said that they have three suitors on the table that they're choosing between.
Oh, really?
For Johnson. So it's been narrowed down to three. Now, obviously, he wouldn't go into who those three were. He says he hopes to make an announcement by the end of the summer.
So that puts us, what, mid-August or
so
end
let's,
of August?
Let's start speculating. What's those three? Who's going to be able to step up and shell out the money for Johnson?
Redpool.
Very well could be. I mean, that was the front runner based on all the rumors we were hearing.
Who were the other candidates?
I have no idea.
Well, that was a short conversation.
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't know if maybe you've heard something or if you just have a speculation.
No,
of,
I don't.
Like someone who could front the money? Like,
no, I don't, man. Unless it's going to be somebody else within the Hendrick stable, like UniFirst. You know, we've seen them on Byron along with Hertz. Who's to say they don't want to step up, take a bigger piece of the advertisement? I don't know.
But I was looking at the breakdown of races a day, and UniFirst and Hertz don't really have much of a presence as it is. I don't see them going from very little to a whole lot. I don't see them making that significant of a change. But it could be. I mean, really, there's no telling until it happens.
Yeah.
And if it's a drink company, the only one that makes Gatorade. Sense would be, well.
I mean, Gatorade's been with Jimmy since the beginning.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it could be Gatorade, which is part of PepsiCo. So, I mean, that could make sense.
Maybe Amp will come back, bro.
I doubt it.
Amp it up.
I doubt it. I used to drink a lot of Amp, actually.
Because you are a Junior fan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about, that brand loyalty. Yeah, man. I mean, it could be Gatorade, and they're actually pushing a lot of their products right now.
I liked Amp, but I don't know. Did they do a sugar-free version? They had so much sugar in those things.
Yeah, I switched to Monster sugar-free.
Yeah, I know. Do like the sugar-free or the rehabs, dude. Those are bomb, and they don't have very little sugar, if any.
Yeah, I agree.
There's your plug, Monster. Send us some Monsters.
Yeah, and we are pretty loyal to Monster, you know, for them sponsoring Cup.
And I will probably remain loyal to them even after they leave next year. What about you?
Yeah, probably. Absolutely, I will, because they've kind of built me as a customer.
Long life, long-term fan.
Yeah, absolutely. So, keep talking about Cup here. Let's talk about something a little more exciting.
We went to Xfinity.
Kind of.
Well, I haven't gotten my almost soapbox issue.
Well, go ahead then. We'll go back.
All right. So, did you see the Xfinity race, the finish?
I did not. I did not.
So, Justin Allgaier had the lead on the
final
restart.
I did. I take it back. Yes, I did. I seen the highlights of it. Yes.
And Christopher Bell was really aggressive to pass him, racing for the lead, as he should have. It's racing, right? Just like we talked about.
Exactly.
And Allgaier was upset about it. Said that he, kind of raced him a little dirty, and he said that he was not a happy camper. I can't remember the metaphor he used, but basically said he wasn't cool with what happened.
One of these guys going to grow up.
I don't know, man. This
man
is,
up a little bit.
Do they forget that they're in a thing called racing? This is what you do.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
it's
racing
kind of been,
for the win.
I mean, there was a movie made in 1989 that talked about this, Rubbing Is Racing.
It wasn't 89.
What year was it, 88?
It was 90s.
I don't think so. Yeah, I'll look it up. Anyway, go on. I'll look it up when you're talking.
Go ahead.
So, we're talking about Days of Thunder, by the way.
That's, fans, if you don't know that, come on. You better not even listen to this if you don't like that. No.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but again, man, just like that's my soapbox. If you're not gonna be upset about
okay, 1990.
Boom.
I'm sorry.
Right.
You said
I said 90s.
90s plural. I was 89. I was 1 year off. My bad.
But again, dude, you're racing, man. Like, quit bitching about it. All these people talking about how hard they're getting raced. It's racing.
Yeah, exactly. No, I understand your soapbox with that, and I completely agree with you. You know, get over it. All right, now
we can go back to Cup.
Let's talk a little bit more fun, entertaining stuff. Let's talk about the Darlington throwbacks.
That's actually what I was going to say.
All right, excellent.
So there was three schemes unveiled this week. Did you see them all? I posted two out of the three on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I did. I was trying to remember if it was three or four, but I got three listed, yes.
So Johnson's got a Cobalt scheme that's a throwback to his
own
win, but also Hendrick's 200th win, which is pretty cool.
At Darlington in 2012.
Yeah, I remember watching that race too. And then Steve Park has his old famous paint scheme on Joey Logano's Pennzoil car.
Yeah, I seen that. I was just flipping through Twitter and I seen that, or maybe it was Facebook, and that was a really sharp looking car.
Yeah,
I really like it.
Yep. And then what was the last one?
Newman with the Neil Bonnet.
Oh, yeah. Newman has the Neil Bonnet that was announced yesterday.
Yeah, that one looks pretty good, too. They all look good.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I love about the Southern 500 is just the aura it brings. Now, I have something for you that you may not know. Did you see who they're getting to play the national anthem at the Southern 500?
I did. I was kind of disappointed by this. But it kind of makes sense.
Throwback a little bit, I guess.
Big hit in the 90s.
Yeah.
1989, if you're a gas man.
Yeah. Hanson. Hanson is going to be singing the national anthem.
You had that CD in high school, didn't you?
Absolutely not. Actually, it took me until like my college years to learn who they were.
Oh, come on.
You know why it was high school? Because the girl I was dating at the time, her friend talked about like being a creeper and driving to their house and like taking some grass clippings from their yard.
That's weird.
That is. She's like such a super fan. I'm like, who the hell is Hanson? So they're like, oh, you know, Umbop. I'm like, Umbop what? It was not my cup of tea to listen to.
What? Whose was it? Unless you were a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Favorite throwback ski, man, all time up to this point.
I had to go with the Grey Ghost, man. I loved that car.
Yeah,
The Jeff Gordon Grey Ghost car.
Yeah, that's right.
That's an inside joke between me and Lux because, you know, me being a junior fan, Lux being a Gordon fan. I have this Darlington throwback shirt with Dell Jr. on it, you know, for the Grey Ghost, and then he's out being injured, and then Gordon drives the car.
Yeah.
So it's funny because he calls it my Jeff Gordon shirt.
Yeah. I chastised you quite a bit for that. So.
Still do.
Mine would have to go to the Exalt, the throwback. And Byron's running another one this year, so that's cool to see. So Gordon ran the, you know, old Rainbow scheme.
Yeah.
I think it was like 2015. Yeah, 2015. I think it was in his last year. And then Byron's going to run one this year. So.
Yeah, I see him, Byron's. I mean, there's been so many.
It's hard to pick. Yes. Tony Stewart had one. It was a Junior Johnson throwback. I think it might have been his last year racing too, man. And that was a sweet looking car as well.
So, talking about throwbacks, have you seen Cole Custer's throwback? The 00 car?
I don't think I have.
It has like eyeballs and the zeros. It's a really cool car, man. Really, really cool.
No, I haven't seen that.
Talk about Cole Custer. I found out some interesting information about Cole Custer today.
Oh, yeah?
So last week we were talking about drivers who have kind of like guaranteed cars because of daddy's money and stuff,
right.
You know, with, you know, Menard, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize this. So Cole Custer drives for Stuart Haas. I did not realize that his dad is the president of Stuart Haas and part team owner in the Cup Series.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I guess Cole will always forever have a car.
But he's got some talent, I'll give him that.
Yeah, he does. I don't disagree.
So, weren't they talking about him moving up the Cup at some point, too? And whatever happened to that?
I think it's still an option. Here's kind of what I could almost see happening there, Lugs. And this going back to the rumor mill, okay? I'm going to start another rumor. So the rumor that's going around without me starting it is Kurt Busch leaving Stuart Haas to go to Childress.
Yeah, I heard that.
What does that do? That now opens a Stuart Haas car for Cole.
Yeah.
That's the rumor I'm starting. Cole Custer to the 41 car.
Because he's been in Xfinity for, what, three years?
3 years,
now?
I think it is, yeah.
So, and he's not exactly lit it on fire, but he's got some wins. He's been competitive. So...
I can see him stepping in and taking that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spot. So you heard it here first, folks, is that Cole Custer will step in and try.
That would be interesting.
Kurt's car.
Seeing Kurt in a Childress car, man.
Yeah, I don't know how.
And
I
what
feel
would
about
they do?
That.
Expand back to three cars?
I don't know. Newman's in his contract year. As of right now, Newman's not extending it past this year.
Oh.
So there's a chance Newman
you
could
know,
be.
Dylan's not going anywhere. Granddad,
oh, yeah,
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, who would Newman go drive for? Toyota and the Levine family racing car?
Oh, well, maybe.
I mean, there's so many variables going into the end of this season and next season.
I don't see Newman being as okay with that as what, like, Kane was. Newman is, I think, more at a point in his career where he'll just walk away and go dirt track racer, spend time with his family.
Yeah, you're right about that. I could absolutely see that as well. Time will tell, but definitely, like I said, a lot of interesting potential situations coming up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, one last thing that I want to talk about on Cup Series. Did you hear that NASCAR is working on the 2019 package?
No, I have not.
So, the rumor is someone supposedly got their hands on like an official docket saying that the 2019, basically the All-Star package, the race that they ran at the All-Star package in 2018 was going to be a package that they implement in 2019. The rumor is it's going to be on 14 races in 2019.
14. Man.
And I believe, if you remember back, this has probably been 5 or 6 episodes ago, you, I believe, said they wouldn't run more than 10. So it'll be interesting to see if that comes to fruition. Do you remember that, Gasman?
They always find some way to screw things up.
Do you remember that, Gasman? Do you remember saying that?
I remember everything.
So you do remember. Okay, good.
But what I'm saying is that doesn't mean it's going to be right.
No, absolutely. But they did say proposed races were Las Vegas on March 3rd. It's weird they have the dates and stuff on here, so it makes me feel like it's a little accurate. But March 3rd at Las Vegas, because of the detail. Auto Club Speedway, March 17th. Both Texas Speedway races, 3:31, 11:03. Kansas Speedway, both races, 5:11 and 10:20. Michigan, 6:09 and 8:11. Both Charlotte May races. So it'd be the Coke 600. That would be cool. I'd like to see that rules package back at that track, but for the Coke 600. Can you imagine doing that for 600 miles, dude?
Yeah, no kidding.
Holy crap.
That would wear some people out.
Yeah. And then, again, the 26th for the All-Star Race. Chicago, 6:30. Kentucky, 7:13, which that track definitely needs it. And Indianapolis Motor Speedway, 9:09. So that's the rumor. Supposedly, it was a proposed official docket. So we'll see.
Proposed doesn't mean they're actually going to, though. Yeah, maybe it's up for vote or something.
But why? I mean, why wouldn't they do it? I mean, they had overwhelmingly positive reviews.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I enjoyed it. It was positive, but I think there's a point where you hit too much of it.
Well, and maybe this is it. It's like the car tomorrow. You do some races with the car tomorrow, some you do with the regular.
Maybe this is their car tomorrow and it's going to bite them in the ass. I hope not.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So earlier we were talking about Greg Biffle's funny lawsuit, right? Funny, creepy, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know if I'd say it's funny, but.
So.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah, there you go. Did you see Monster's lawsuit?
I saw just the snippet of it. I Googled it because I saw it on your notepad there before we started.
Okay. So Monster is suing a distillery out in Virginia for using its likeness to the M used in Monster. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I would suggest you go Google this shit because this is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. This company that makes whiskey or whatever it is, their initials are ML and they or MJ. I think it's MJ. Anyway, the M looks almost like a normal damn M. And how is Monster saying it, taking their likeness? So, Lugs, you looked it up, right?
Yeah.
How close is it to you?
It's pretty far.
It's like just saying the alphabet is stealing from Monster. Does not work.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of similarities to it.
There's no similarities. There's no coloration. There's no angles. It's literally just the letter M. Oh, therefore, it's like Monster. So, when I'm getting to that, corporate greed really pisses me off at times, and this is a pure case of corporate greed.
I don't see how they'll have a leg to stand on, but you know what?
Yeah, either do I. We'll see. Either do I.
So let's gear up and talk about next week, Watkins Glen.
Ooh, my favorite track.
Is it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know it is.
Awesome, Caspian. I always knew deep down you love road courses. So I really do like this track. It provides some good racing, good finishes, so I've always liked it. So particularly one thing to look for would be Friday. Bubba Wallace and Eric Jones are entering the K&N race on Friday, so that'll be kind of neat. I don't know if it's televised, though. I didn't look that up. Sorry.
It's probably online, but I didn't look it up either.
Yeah, last time I looked for the Sonoma one, and I couldn't find it, so I don't know where it ended up being, but supposedly it was out there somewhere. Cup Series wise, and Xfinity's there too, but Cup Series wise, there's only 37 cars entered this weekend.
I'm not surprised.
I wonder who's not entered, because don't we have 38?
Well, normally, we would like to have 40. So, it's probably a team that can't afford a wrecked car. Like, you know, the one that Weatherman drives for, or one of those, that's my guess.
They also made a headliner. It actually just came out right before we recorded this, but they're going to treat this as an impound race. So the cars are going to be impounded right after qualifying and then inspected prior to the race on Sunday. So qualifying Saturday.
Oh, yeah, they're not even announcing a pole sitter until...
Officially, until Sunday after inspection. So teams are not going to have any real idea. I mean, they'll have an idea, but they're...
A couple bad apples are in it for the bunch.
Exactly, just like this weekend. So a few cars, you know, fail that inspection again, and it's going to jumble up the start. So that's kind of different. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know why... What move do they have by waiting until Sunday to inspect them? Why can't they just inspect them
leverage,
post?
Maybe?
Why can't they just do it post-qualifying?
Maybe,
like
they're, maybe they're afraid teams will sneak into the garage to try to work on their cars. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there has to be some kind of reasoning behind it.
Yeah, I don't know. So
maybe it took too long on Saturday. They didn't get out until late Saturday, and they want to eliminate some of that.
Could be. Yeah, some factors we don't know. But let's talk about picks. Who's your pick for this weekend?
My pick for this weekend is... Ready? Drum roll. Mm-hmm. Truex, and my dark horse is Suarez.
Oh, dude.
Dude, what?
That was going to be my pick.
It was, and now it's not.
Like, legitimately, both of those.
I stole your picks.
So I guess I will have to agree with you on the picks, because my mentality was going to be that now that Harvick and Busch have 6 wins apiece, Truex was going to go out there and get another win. I'd put him at 5, but you know, I figured he would go out there and he won Sonoma, so we know he can race at the road courses. And then I figured Suarez, coming off his 2nd at Pocono, would be a good
and not
pick.
Even just Pocono, he did well at New Hampshire as well.
Yeah,
Suarez has been a little bit of a hot streak for him.
So let me, I guess, amend my picks here.
Yeah, come on, what is it? Who you have? Who you think?
So I'm gonna pick Allmendinger.
Okay.
But
as your dark
do
horse?
I pick him as a dark horse, or do I pick him as my main? Is he considered a dark horse for you? I mean, he's got a win, so I don't know if that's a true dark horse for you or not.
I would say he's a dark horse, personally. It's when someone chooses.
I know you're so wishy washy.
No,
I'm not.
Like
when I pick Blaney, who also has one win, he can't be a dark
Blaney's
horse.
Relevant. AJ is not.
Oh, is he? Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Where can I find these rules? All right, I will pick Allmendinger as my dark horse.
You can find the rules right there.
That's not nice. Allmendinger is going to be my dark horse because I still, even though he's an excellent road course racer, I think that team's lacking a little bit right now. So I don't think he's going to be able to duplicate his 2014 win, but I think he'll still get a good finish. I'm going to go out and say Kyle Busch, man. Kyle Busch is going to get back-to-back wins. He's going to go out and win Watkins Glen.
Could. Yeah, he's very capable.
Dude, you can't discount him anyway.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, it's dropping a bucket between those top three.
Yeah.
It really is.
Honestly, and then last week I picked Truex, you picked Harvick, and then Busch went out and won it. So go figure.
Yeah, I was much closer, though.
Oh, yeah, thanks. But it wasn't a 1-2 finish like I had a couple weeks ago.
Moving on. One last thing I want to say. Did you watch the ARCA race at Pocono?
I did not catch it. It was rain shortened, I heard.
It was rain shortened. Zane Smith won, so congratulations, Zane, which I was hoping to have on the show, but I haven't heard back.
Oh, burn.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, it was really interesting because it was lightning, so therefore they couldn't have TV crews up and about recording the race. So the only cameras they had were the in-car cameras.
Oh.
To do the race with.
Really?
Yeah. So it's very, made it very weird. And a lot of people were complaining about it. But if you can't have cameras out, then somebody's like, if it's not safe enough for camera crews, that's safe enough for the drivers.
Right.
Huh. So, yeah. Well, one reason is I'll explain how electricity works when it comes to static electricity that lightning is that it's a surface charge. So, yeah. When lightning hits the car, it stays on the surface of the car and not internally to the driver. So they're protected inside the car. Anyway, there's my 2 cents for the week, jackass. All right, Lugs, moving on. I don't have anything else.
I'm good, too. So I'm ready for some road course racing this
weekend. I am all talked out,
weekend.
And I'm actually disappointed. We had no fans message us to call into the show. Well, we, of course, we didn't give a heads up about it. We just kind of posted and said, hey, call us.
Yeah, our fans are busy people.
They are. I mean, all five of them are really, really busy.
Hey, we got over.
We're now over. Yeah, and we're now over 1,200 downloads. We're actually, I feel like we're doing very well. And fans, it's all because of you. And as always.
Thank you, yes.
Yes, as always. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, and well, before you gotta give our websites so before you get us out here, Logs. I know you're a rookie at this, but you can always message us at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. You can always contact us via our website, wreckingandracing.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, blah blah blah, all that stuff. You know, and follow us on Podbean, Stitcher, whatever. And don't ever forget about our buddy Sokka. Check his website out as well. So
Sakokina races. Sakokina
Risa
games.
Just Google Sokka. S-A-K-A.
I feel bad for butchering this.
We need to have like.
I watch his videos like every day and I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's Sakokina Risa, I think, games. Yeah.
Something like that.
Google it. It'll pop up.
If you like video games, you like NASCAR, you'll like Sokka. He's a really good guy. Watches videos, etc. Again, folks, thank you for listening. We love you guys. Talk to you next week.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.